All right.
So this is the Happy House Hunters Mastermind. So David and Tammy are traveling. As you can see, they've got this beautiful sunshine behind them, not quite warm enough for the swimsuits, but they're out on the beach. And so how are you guys handling your maintenance calls while you're traveling?
We call your son-in-law.
I get it. I get it. Yep, he's on my speed dial as well. I get that.
So
Now,
we've been gone for 5 weeks and we've only had one maintenance call, and it really wasn't even a maintenance call. We learned that we were going to have a metro housing
inspection.
inspection while we were gone. So that happened at the beginning of this month, and they gave us until I think
27.
the 27th to fix the one item that they found. So we did contact Matt at CW Property Solutions and see if he had time to get that done in time for our re-inspection.
So did he say he did or did not?
He did it, so he called me and presented a few options. It was they wanted better ventilation in the bathroom.
Okay.
It was something I was surprised we didn't get cited for last time. The bathroom, and this is something. It's the way it was when we bought it. It literally had a ceiling fan like you'd have in your living room or dining room in the bathroom. So figured when they said that the bathroom had to have a fan, that was not exactly what they were referring to.
Yeah, it has to have a vent fan. So, yeah, I get
So excited as for that, no surprise. So yes, Matt is now putting a proper ventilation fan in there.
So, when you're traveling, one of the last things that you want to do is have to have all of these conversations, with maintenance people and describe this and describe that. And so oftentimes what I've discovered is it's kind of like that game that we played when we were kids where you told a secret and it went around the circle, and after 14 kids repeated it to each other, it didn't have anything to do with what it's how it started. And so what happens a lot of times when you're working with your own properties and you're functioning as the property manager, you get a tenant who tells you something and you're not sure that they even really understand what they're telling you. So now you take that information and then you tell it or try to write it or email it or even just tell it to a maintenance person. And if they have what I want to call a gatekeeper that takes the orders, now they're going to turn around and tell it to the actual technician that's going to come out to do the project. And by the time it goes through three or four people, it's not anywhere near the same project is what it started out to be. So, as many times as you can eliminate as many middle people in there as possible and get it straight to the technician, it's always better. I remember back in the day, right out of high school, I worked for Jack Helm Ford. Now, Jack Helm Ford's not even in Lancaster anymore. Does anybody remember Jack Helm Ford? Yeah. So, yeah, Tracy does. So anyway, I worked in the service department for Jack Helm Ford, and I was just a teenager. I was right out of high school, and I was a service writer for Jack Helm Ford. And so the first thing that I learned is he said, never, ever, ever diagnose the problem, because if the person comes in and tells you this is what's wrong, and then you write it on the order that that's what's wrong, then that's what the technician is going to fix. And that may not have even been the problem because the owner of the car isn't a technician. You're not a technician. And the technician says, she told me to change the tire, so I changed the tire when really there was a noise in the wheel. He said, so write down there's a noise in the wheel. Do not write down change the tire, even if the owner of the car tells you change the tire, there's a noise there. He said, you need to write down that there's a noise in the wheel or there's a noise. He said, and let the technician find out what the problem really is. And so I've discovered that that works well with all of my technicians. I tell them more what the problem is and not what the fix is, if that makes sense. And so oftentimes I like to, again, I try to interpret what the tenant is telling me. Because a lot of times they really don't understand how a furnace works or how an air unit works or even how their downspouting work or a number of things. And so I try to pass on the actual problem from the tenant directly to the technician. And so one of the things that I like to do too is take myself out as the middle person, and I like the technician to talk directly to the tenant. Now, not every technician wants to do that. And so here's another, paint this other picture. Oftentimes you have somebody that's really, really good at what they do, but they're not really good with people skills. And so now you might have a technician, and it's like when you go to the doctor and everybody goes, this surgeon is the best. Terrible bedside manner, but he's the best surgeon. Well, you know what? If he's going to do surgery on me, I would rather he be a good surgeon than to have really great bedside manner. I can deal with the poor bedside manner if I know he's a really great surgeon. So sometimes as the landlord, you have to be that buffer between your technician and your tenant. But if you can find a technician that has the people skills that can communicate directly with your tenant and remove even yourself out of the middle, a lot of times the project gets fixed a lot faster because now the technician is finding out what exactly is it doing? What is the problem? What is it I'm here to fix? And I had a guy the other day, he called me up and he says, we need a new ceiling fan. It must be a ceiling fan week, you guys. I don't know. He says, we need a new ceiling fan. And I said, why? And he said, it's making a noise. Well, I could simply put on the work order to replace the ceiling fan. Well, that might have not even been where the noise was coming from. So I put on the work order that to check the fan that there's a noise and replace if needed. See, so I changed it to where the technician is going to go actually find out the problem and not just replace a ceiling fan for the sake of replacing a ceiling fan. And so there's all kinds of weird things that happen in these properties. You know, and sometimes, you know, I want to say I don't believe in coincidence, but sometimes it's pure coincidence. You know, sometimes something stops working and you go, this quit working, it needs replaced. And you find out that the circuit breaker popped. It was all that was wrong. And then when you go try to turn on the circuit breaker and it doesn't stay on, you have to troubleshoot a little further. And maybe it's a bad circuit. Maybe it's not the appliance at all that's bad. Maybe it's the circuit that's bad. So don't throw away the refrigerator until you make sure that it's actually the refrigerator that's bad. Ask me how I know this. So oftentimes you can't just take what your tenant tells you and run with it. Oftentimes you have to dig a little deeper, and as the owner of the property and to protect your wallet and your expenses, sometimes it's necessary to dig a little deeper and fix the real issue and not just take care of what your tenant says is wrong, if that makes any sense. Now, I like to take it a step further. We've got Adrian, we're gonna let him in the call here. I like to take it one step further, and a lot of times if I'm traveling, I always travel with my laptop. And now, of course, we can get an Ango on our phones. But do you guys travel with your laptop or tablet, David, Tammy? Yeah. So I'm trying to tell Mark that we're never on vacation, that this is a lifestyle. You know, it's not a vacation, it's a lifestyle. And that our travels is our lifestyle. So I like to work away from home the same as I do at home. I like to take the first couple of hours each morning and I get a little bit of my writing done. I can, you know, do a couple of my Zoom calls, get that out of the way, take care of any work orders that come in from any of the tenants. And then I'm done for the rest of the day. And then we can go have fun and do whatever. So unless there's an emergency, see, then I'm not on call after that. After that, I'm ready to go. So what I like to do is train my tenants to send me everything through Inago. Now, are you doing that, David, Tammy? Does your tenant send you most everything? David's smiling. Do you send most everything through Inago?
Because Tammy trains and then I teach them bad habits.
Oh, is that how that? Yeah, Mark's the same way. Yeah. Mark is like, just let me know. And I'm like, no, Mark, they have to submit it through Inago. I want everything to come through Inago. So what I'm trying to do is I'll use the term 10X my business, I want to be able to not have to babysit each and every single phone call. So if everything comes through Inago and I train all of my tenants to submit everything through Inago, and for Tracy, I think you're maybe the only one. Inago is simply a software program for property managers for small landlords that well, I think they handle up to maybe what, 100 properties? I don't know if they have a top limit, but I know they'll take, even if you only have one or two properties, you can put them on an AGO. And it's free to the landlord, and the tenant then can pay their rent that way. They can fill out their application. You can do background checks, and you can keep track of your maintenance. And the reason I like to do that is I'm creating a position instead of a person. I always say to myself, if I were not here, who would handle the maintenance? Is it one of those things where it's going to take me days to train somebody how to, you know, like, well, you've got Susie and she always sends it in the back of Facebook, but then you got Sally over here and she always sends me a text, but then you've got Tom and he always sends me an email. So now you've got to keep track of like 14 different ways of communication in order to receive whatever the problems are from your tenants. So I try to teach them from the very beginning, everything comes through an AGO, because at the end of the day, as a landlord, your only job is to collect the rent and make sure that the house is in great shape. That's your only job. It's not your job to, you know, be a buffer between them and the neighbors. You know, they have to have some of their own people skills. You know, it's not your job to make sure, you know, that, you know, they are keeping track of paying their bills and reminding them every time the rent is due. Your job is to simply collect the rent and maintain the property. And so by putting it all on an AGO, it kind of eliminates all the reasons they can call you. So sometimes they'll have a question and I just tell them, submit it through an AGO, even if it's not a maintenance, submit it through a maintenance request, whatever your question is. And so that way I get it all coming to me in the same communication. And so now what I can do is I can go straight into an AGO to my maintenance list and I can pick up a maintenance order and I can forward it via email right out to my contractors. Have you done that before, guys? David, Tammy? Have you forwarded right from an AGO straight out to your contractors?
We have a couple of times, yes.
So that works really well, because that way I don't even have to make a phone call. So what I like to do once it comes in and I open up my AGO and I can see what the maintenance request is, because it pops up in my email that I've received one, then I can go straight to an AGO and open it up. I can go in and make notes. I can edit that maintenance request. So if the tenant makes a statement and says, you know, my toilet won't shut off, then I can go in, if I've got some background and some insight, I can go in and fill in the blanks for my technical person. For example, I have a unit upstairs in a multifamily and the shutoff to the toilet doesn't work real well. When you shut it off, then the valve leaks. Well, it has been replaced a couple of times. And so now it is so close to the floor, you can't even get a wrench on it to replace it. And so now when the lady called and she said, hey, my toilet is leaking, I started to shut it off so that it would stop running. She said, my toilet keeps running, it won't shut off. So she goes, when I went to shut it off at the floor level, now that joint leaks. She goes, I don't know what to do. And I said, well, I'll get somebody out there right away. Go ahead and leave it on so it didn't leak, because she's in an upstairs unit. But her water was continuously running through that toilet. See, so there was going to be a concern about a water bill. So I said, I'll get somebody right away. And so then I could then go into that AGO order and I could explain to my plumber, I could say, you know, this is going to be a bigger job than just fixing the inside of the toilet, because there's not room for you to replace that valve that's leaking. And so at this point, just go ahead, leave it on at the floor, just fix the toilet so her toilet works and stops running. And then we'll flag it so that we can have more time to go in there, because we're going to have to take up a piece of the floor to redo some of that plumbing in order to add another shutoff valve. So it's going to be a bigger project than just fixing, you know, the $5 insides of her tank. So, but anyhow, I was able to go right into the work order and explain that to the technician before I forwarded it out to them. And so that's why I really like an AGO, because I can edit, I can adjust, I can manage. And then if I'm out of town or if I'm traveling, like Mark and I, we want to do a couple of international trips a year. And I've just learned that Italy has terrible Wi-Fi and I probably won't be able to get on Wi-Fi while I'm in Italy. And unless I buy a little pocket Wi-Fi over there or rent one while I'm there to try to get a signal. So anyway, while I'm gone, I can then just assign someone to monitor my Inago. I don't have to tell them all the little nuances of 24 doors, you know, like, yeah, Susie over here and she does this and Sally does that and Tom does this and George does that. And, you know, and so it's all over the map. That way I can just say, all you're doing is monitoring the Inago. You're going to monitor the rent payments as they come in and you're going to monitor any maintenance requests that come in. So questions, comments, David and Tammy, any experiences that you'd like to share?
No, sorry, nothing comes straight to mind. I think, you know, we also use Inago, and that is thanks to you and some of these conversations, you know, as we were getting started in the business. So I am a little more like Mark. So maintenance request comes in through Inago, and then I say, oh, all right, well, here's what we're going to do. And if you have any problems, just text me. So I break the chain almost immediately. Somebody's trying to teach me to get better about that. I'm working on it. And I suppose as we do more of this remote management, then definitely I'll have to get better at that. We did have to deal with some maintenance issues when we were in Hawaii. Of course, that's a five hour difference. So that made for some calls that were really very ridiculously early in the morning because it was work time back here at home.
I get it. And I'm going to really be off the time zone when I'm in Italy. And so, yeah, I'll be like in the middle of the night when everybody's awake here. So, so that's why I want to be able to just hand off that account to an assistant. And that way they can just tap in and just collect anything that comes through there and just pick up the email and forward it on. So I have my preferred contractors. I have like three deep of roofers. I've got my preferred roof guy, but then I've got two more under him. I've got my preferred plumber with two more. I've got my preferred handyman with two more. I'm three deep on every person that I might need. And that way I can, my go-to of course is my preferred, but if for some reason they're not available, I can just go to my next one in line. And maybe they're not my preferred for different reasons. Maybe their price point is a little higher, but if I'm in Italy and somebody has, you know, a water leak at that point, it's more important to get the leak stopped than it is to worry if it's going to cost me $50 more. And so I always have three deep of everything for that reason. And just to kind of keep everything moving along in the right direction. And I have that entire list available to my admin. So she knows, you know, who to call first and then who to call second, who to call third. And then all of the contractors that I work with, other than one, all of them will invoice me online, which I like because now, as long as I have a Wi-Fi service at some point in my travels, I can even take care of the payments and I wouldn't even have to put that off on an admin. Because again, I'm not going to have a bunch. We're going to be in Italy for 14 days. And if I have a call at all, I might have one. Now watch, I'll end up with four or five while we're gone on this trip. But generally I only have one or two calls a month on an average. And it's everything from, you know, my water faucet is dripping or my toilet won't shut off or my door latch isn't working quite right, or my lock won't lock first time I have to mess with it. And it's usually nothing major because I try to take care of all the major stuff before we even rent a unit. And so it's just stuff that happens as people are living there and coming and going and using the appliances and using coming in and out of the doors and operating the, you know, the lights, the fans, the windows. And so usually it's just an adjustment that has to be taken care of. Not often do we even have to replace anything. So for me, using Inago is just a godsend when I'm traveling and wanting to be and have freestyle living. And I'm so envious of David and Tammy right now, but to have freestyle living and be able to manage my properties from anywhere in the world is my goal. And, but you have to have some folks on the ground back home, wherever your properties are located. You have to have some of those teams built out. So that's another thing in our mastermind. Once you tap into the mastermind, we do have that resource center of a bunch of folks there that we have all used. And I even put in the resource center who's used them. So it'll say this person was referred by David or referred by Tammy or referred by me. And that way you can even then contact the person who referred them and say, what was your experience with them? You know, and here's what I have. Do you think they would be a good person for this particular situation or particular job? So that's been invaluable because I've called up folks more than once and said, you know, what has been your experience? And I even have a guy, love him. But he's a procrastinator. He works at, you know, under the deadline at the end of the project. So I've learned to give him a week short on the deadline. I've learned to tell him the deadline is really up here to give him a little bit of time. And so again, one of our members called and said, hey, I want to use him. What's your experience? And I was able to tell her, don't give him the real deadline. Shorten it up a little bit. And not that he won't get it done. He'll get it done in time for your deadline, but he like starts the night before and gets it done the day of. So I told her, I said, so that you don't lose your sanity, just so you know, that way you'll feel better. He'll get it done, but you'll feel better that you've given him a little extra time there. And I said, just know that's how he thinks, that's how he functions. But he does great work. And so it's just, you know, little information like that is really helpful when you're out there using somebody for the first time. Especially if you're a little short on your budget and you don't want to have to pay for the same repair twice because somebody didn't show up or didn't do it right or whatever. So that's all important there. So any questions from anyone or comments, and I can actually show you, I think, I've had so many of my screens open today. This is like my fourth call today. So bear with me and see if it makes me sign in again or if it'll let me go to my Inago here. It might let me go. See if it will let me open. Because I even use my Inago to manage projects out in the future that I don't, I even just type in the top line. I got a couple little hacks where I make it a little more user friendly. And so it's coming up. Here's my maintenance. So you'll see a ton of Matt's in there because Matt's my son-in-law. That's who Tammy and David, they're also using while they're traveling. Matt has the Canal Winchester Property Solutions LLC. And so what I do is on the actual line of the property or the very top line, I actually put who I assigned it to. I do everything by unit address. Now, if you end up having a 57 on two or three different streets, and I did it one time, I had a 57 Columbus Street, a 57 Waterloo Street, and a 57 Main Street. So I couldn't just say 57 because they didn't know which unit. Right now, I only have one 57 and it's Waterloo. This is my office building and my basement wall needs some attention. So this is the newest request that just went in. And so when I open it up, when you look at the request, I put here on the top line, I put that I've assigned this one to Matt. It's for the 57 unit and it's for the basement wall. And then I then can describe what it is here. And then I put myself as the contact person. But just so I'm going to move our faces out of the way here, just so you see how this works. If I edit this, this is what it looks like when you start to type one. And when you put the name, you could put the name of your tenant there, but I put the name of who I assigned it to, the unit, and what it's about. Does that make sense? I do that so that, and see if it'll let me get out of this again. I do that so that when I look at my maintenance list like this, I can see which ones are for Matt. And when you put your mouse over top of it, it'll show like here's 57 general common areas. So that I've got a just little stuff for him to do. And again, that's in the office building. Here's where I have a move out, and I put move out April 30th, and it's just the punch list. Here's one where he has to install a new light in one of the suites for one of the tenants. But I can see that these are all for Matt, and then I can tell what unit it's for. So then I'll scroll down and have to let my computer catch up here. Here's one that's not scheduled. This is that one where I talked about with the toilet shutoff valve, where we're going to need some more time because he has to take up a piece of the floor to get to the plumbing to extend that plumbing so he can even add a new shutoff valve. And so I even put a note there that I've assigned that one to Matt, but it's not scheduled yet because we're going to wait until one of two things happen. Either A, she has an emergency with that toilet and then it goes to the top of the list and he has to get it worked in to go fix it, or until he has a break in his schedule. Because again, right now it is not an emergency. Her toilet is working fine. We don't need the shutoff valve. Some of those older units didn't even have shutoff valves for the toilets. So it's okay that we're not putting this one at the top of the list. So I just make a note that it's not scheduled. And then I've got some, I'll scroll on down, that are on hold. Here's one that's on hold. We need to tuck point the foundation of this property, but you know what? It's been this way a lot of years. It'll stand for a lot more years. It's not an emergency. It doesn't have to be done this season. So the ones here that are on hold, these are ones that as I get ahead financially, if I have a month where I don't have a lot of maintenance issues and I've got some cash left over in the maintenance fund, I might say, you know what, let's go ahead and tuck point that foundation on that property. Or let's go ahead on this one that's on hold. Let's go ahead and create that gravel off-street parking. This is one where we've never had off-street parking. I don't know if you guys remember this or not. Tammy, David, you might. I think it was in the Cream, somebody was giving away a guardrail a year or so ago. And as soon as I saw that, I grabbed it. And Mark and I, it was free. Just come and get this guardrail. My girlfriend was like, did you see that guardrail on the Cream? And I said, yeah. As a matter of fact, Mark and I grabbed it. And she goes, oh, of course you did. She goes, what are you going to do with the guardrail? Well, this is a multi-unit that has no off-street parking. They have to park out front. It's been that way. The house was built, you know, early 1900s. They've been parking on the street for a lot of years. And so it's not like I have to do off-street parking, but that I always had it in mind that at some point I'd like to add off-street parking for this multi-unit. So I managed to grab the guardrail. Matt has since installed the guardrail about 20 feet up into the backyard, but it's still grass on both sides of the guardrail. So at some point, I know that's going to be a big project and it's going to cost some money to come in and cut that sod out behind that guardrail on the alley side and put down a big limestone base and let that soak in, you know, let that limestone base kind of get solid and then come back a few weeks later or months later and put smaller gravel over top. And ultimately we will, you know, create there a graveled off-street parking for the tenants there. But again, it's on hold so that when a project comes around where I have a slow month where I don't have a lot of money going out on maintenance, I might say, you know what, let's put that base in. Let's go ahead and get started on that project. Here's another one where Mark keeps telling me and my furnace guy tells me every year, if you make it through another season with that one furnace, you'll be lucky. That darn furnace has been hanging on for the last 3 years. I know that sooner or later, I'm going to have to replace that furnace. So it's on hold right now. It's working. You know, I'm a firm believer. I don't fix it if it's not broken. It's working, but I have flagged $4,000 of my maintenance account to put a new furnace in that unit. And I know that any given season, it's going to be time. And so I have two furnace guys have already quoted it. They've got the furnace in stock. It's very easy to come by. And so I am prepared at any given moment to call and get a furnace put in that particular unit. But right now it's on hold because it's, you know, there's never a good month to spend $4,000, right? And so I'm thinking, okay, if I have a month where I don't have any maintenance issues, nothing else going on, I might say, you know what, let's go get the furnace put in there. And I didn't really want to be messing with it during heating season, you know, because the furnace is going to be down for several hours while they're even working on it. Plus, it's not fun when you're the technician to have to be dragging this equipment in and out of a basement in the snow. So my guess is if I could get into a season where we don't need the furnace, then I can say, all right, let's go ahead and get a new one in there and get it working and have it ready for next season. So you can see how I work with all of my requests. Over here shows you the units. At a glance, you can see what unit it goes to. Over here, you can see whether it's on hold and who I've assigned the unit or the maintenance issue to go to. Now, once you have one, and we'll go back to this top one here, once you open up a request, then you can actually forward the ticket right here. When you click forward, all of the emails that you've been using comes up, and right here is my property solutions. And I can click send right there and it just picks up that ticket and sends it right out to the technician's inbox. And so I don't even have to make a phone call. Now, oftentimes I do because, and I don't make a phone call, I'll usually text because if they're out working, especially if it's something that's kind of an emergency, if they're out working, they're not sitting in front of their computer watching for emails to come in. So I'll shoot them a little text saying, hey, I just sent you an email. You know, I've got a furnace that went out, or I just sent you an email. I've got a roof that's leaking, or I've got a light that's not working. So that way they know to at least look for it. And it allows me to go, you know, right in at any time and edit that particular request. So any questions there, comments, thoughts? Did it make sense to everybody? You guys are too good today. Now, David and Tammy, do you use Inago to that extent to manage all of your requests or no?
No, we don't.
Tammy was just commenting that maybe we should start doing that, where we, you know, kind of pre-populate some of those things that we know we're going to need to address in the future.
It's just
a checklist. I have a checklist on my phone just in Google Keep that everything for every property that we've decided we would like to do. And then at the beginning of each year, we figure out how much our CapEx budget's going to be. And we pick out the items that off of that list we can do, but they're not in Inago.
See, I like putting all of mine in one place. And again, what I'm trying to do when you're going to 10X any business is that you have to build your systems up front. You have to have your systems in place, because if you don't have your systems in place, it's awfully hard to grow. And so I want everything to do with my rentals in Inago. That's my platform. I want the leases there. The background checks are there. I want all of the maintenance issues there. And even the ones that are on hold, I want everything right there. So if I have to hand that over to an assistant, I'm only handing over one platform. And that way, and because right there is, it's got all the tenants, all their phone numbers. It's got everything right in Inago already. And so that way I don't send her a text and then she says, well, I'll call the tenant. What's their phone number? Now I got to go to a paper file and pull it out of a drawer to get their phone number off a folder. Everything is right there in Inago. And so all I have to do is just forward, you know, the maintenance request over. And then even like the furnace where it's just kind of on hold, I can just pick that up and forward it right over to my furnace guy, and it'll have the tenant's name, phone number, and all of that. And so he even has that information where he can call the tenant if he needs to say, hey, we're coming to put a furnace in, you know, are you going to be home, not be home? And I try to not be in the middle of that. I let the technician, even my plumbers, my anybody that's working on a unit, I let them schedule with the tenant, because it's awful hard for, you know, me to call the tenant. Then I call the maintenance person, and then the maintenance person says, well, I can't do it that day. So then I call the tenant and they go, well, but I'm working that day. And then I call the maintenance. Next thing you know, we've got 14 phone calls trying to coordinate. And I just have the maintenance guy, just, you know, whoever it is, I just say, call the tenant, work out what works for you guys, and it's a go. And they've worked on days that I would have not picked. You know, I'll go out there and I'll have a roof guy on a Sunday. And I'm like, you're working on a Sunday? And he's like, well, it was the only time your tenant was going to be here, and it works for me. And I'm like, okay, as long as everybody's happy, who am I? You know, just send me the bill when you're done. And so I would have never probably lined that up, you know, on a Sunday, but between the tenant and the roofer, it was good for them. So it works for me. So I try to stay out of the middle of all that. And everything goes a whole lot easier that way, because now it's just the two of them working out a date and time to get together. And then if they absolutely can't get together and the maintenance person is like, you know, they're not going to be home for the next couple of weeks, what do you want me to do? Then I just give them notice, and I give them notice through Inago. I give them notice through Inago, because now there's a record of every notice. And I like that as well. So let's see, here is messaging, and here is all of my messages are right here. Everything is right here. So even the announcements on, Inago will send out a reminder when their rent is due. The reminders will be here. I even send out, and I don't know if it'll let me scroll back to any, if it'll load here. Yep. Here's my problem. I have to change my date here. Anything that I send out, it saves it right here. So here's where I sent out that we were having a fire marshal inspection in my commercial buildings. I announced it right through Inago. So everything. And here is, and you know how you have to put 3-day notices? Well, I had to do a 3-day notice this week. And guess what? Right there's my 3-day notice. I did it in Inago. I did my 3-day notice right in Inago. And then I confirmed that they got it. I sent a text message and said, hey, you're getting a 3-day notice. And they're like, oh yeah, we got that. And I'm like, okay. And I do that by text. So now I have that in writing. So I do all of that through Inago. So now I'm not having to run around and post anything on doors. If they do get it, this was a young couple who the husband switched jobs, and he knew, they said, they called me. They said, we're going to be late. We switched jobs and the rent's due like on a Wednesday, and our first paycheck doesn't come until that Friday. So we're going to be like 3 days late. And I said, okay, but you'll still get a 3-day notice. You know, until it's paid. And so I do it all right in the lease. I have it written right in the lease. This is what the notice looks like, and that you'll get notified through Inago. And so all of that is done through Inago, and I don't have to do a lot of running around, and it just makes my life so much easier. So questions, comments. Tracy, what are your thoughts? Any aha moments on any of this, or are you just getting started?
Just getting started, but I do like that software.
Yeah, tell the group a little bit about yourself since you're new.
My husband and I, John, we own our own manufacturing company in Lancaster, Southeastern Machining. We've had it for about 33 years. I've wanted to get into rentals since in my early 20s, but I could never get him interested. He went in and had brain surgery in December, and he's decided that he wants freedom now. So we bought our first property last Thursday. We signed, and we've been working every day since.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But I've told my children since they were little, you need to get into rentals. And so my daughter has bought her first house that she's living in with the goal of in 2 to 3 years, that being her first rental and going from there. But yeah, we're excited.
Well, welcome. We're glad that you are here. We look forward to seeing you on our calls and at our in-person meetups that we do once a month. So thank you for being here today. And if you want to touch base with me outside of the call, if you want to get set up on Inago, let me know. Mm-hmm. I can help you do that to get started. And again, it's just getting started. It's a pretty easy program to understand once you're in there. I don't have a lot of turnover between tenants. And so every time I have a tenant move and I have another one that's going to move in, I have to stop and think a minute. Okay, how do I get this one tenant out and the other? I have to stop and think to make sure I do it correctly. The first one I did on Inago, I didn't do it correctly. And then I had to call the company and he had to, take it out of the system for me and let me start over because I'd messed up trying to get that first tenant rolled from one person to another. But I've got it figured out now. But it took me the first time to figure it out. So Tammy, did you have any trouble with that the first time you had to switch tenants?
Yes, I did. I've had to call them before for that. And I have a up-down duplex that I put it in as unit A, like upstairs and downstairs, but then addresses weren't printing properly on documents. So I had to call them and have them help me with that, split the unit into two different units. So, but they're very helpful.
Yes. Yes. Always helpful. I've never had any issues. They're always more than happy to answer questions and help and even, go in and fix something that, you've damaged beyond repair on how to make it come out the way you want it to come out. And they fixed it. Now, one of the big things that I learned from the very beginning is that I wanted each one of my properties to have its own bank account. And so I started to enter all my properties and I managed to enter like five of them and it wouldn't let me enter anymore. And so I called in and he said, you have to have each one. It's divided by company. So he said, you have to have a different company for each bank account. And I was like, but I only have one company. So our workaround that we did is under the company category in Inago, I simply put the property address because we refer to them, by their street number. And so I was able to put the property street number in each company section and it let me do all 24 individuals separate with separate bank accounts. And so that was our workaround with that, but they're real good at that. If you run into a snag like that, they'll tell you the best workaround. The second time I needed a workaround is I have a midterm rental and I wanted to do week to week. And that wasn't an option in Inago. You could do month to month or you could do, a year, but week to week wasn't an option. And I said, I really want to charge them 4 weeks up front and then go week to week because on a midterm, they never know when their assignment is going to end. And I said, and they don't want to really pay a whole month if their assignment ends in the middle and they have to wait for the refund. And he said, give me 30 minutes. 30 minutes later, he called me back and he said, we now have a week to week. They actually added that to the program so that I could do a week to week rent on my midterms because I want all my long-term and midterm rentals to be in Inago. I want them all to be there at the same place. So is that helpful for everyone? Yes. Adrian, how about you? Welcome. I'm glad you're on the call. Any questions?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine.
All right. How's everyone doing? I have a question because I noticed you had the 380 notes in Inago. I never saw it before. Is that a new feature recently?
Which feature is that?
The 3-day notice that you put in Inago. I didn't see that before.
No, I actually took my 3-day notice that I normally would just type out in any type of a Word document, and I simply copy and pasted it over into my Inago email messaging system.
I see. Okay. Okay.
So that's all it is. I just took a standard email document that I normally would send out via email and then go tape on their door. And I simply just put it over into Inago's email instead. Now, I always click the button to send myself a copy of everything that goes out. So I get a copy in my email of everything I send out through Inago. And from there, I, and even in Inago, you could too, I actually print it off And so with this couple, I did not drive down and post it on their door because I knew they were just waiting for payday because of his job change. But if I had someone that I really felt that I was going to end up going to court for an eviction, one of the things the judge wants you to do is actually post it on their door, an actual hard copy of the notice. And so at that point, I would just print off the Inago email and post that actual email on the door. That would become my 3-day notice. I wouldn't have to type it twice. Is that helpful?
So you send out the email and you post it on the door?
Officially, I'll answer that question, yes. Officially, you would send it out as an email and you would post it on their door to show that you had served them their 3-day notice.
Okay, I just posted the door. That's what I asked about. I thought it was a new feature on it. So I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, no, I do it because it's convenient.
Okay.
Any other questions? That was a good one. Thanks, Adrian.
No problem.
Well, this has been a great call. Any major maintenance issues anybody need to talk about? I'm pretty good on all of mine except the darn wall. That's the latest one that you saw on my Inago. Before we bought the commercial building, someone, and it's called something, David, you might know, I don't know what it's called, but it's where they mortared over the inside of the cement block inside the wall. It's called something. And it's starting to crumble off. And so the question is do we do a major basement renovation there with cement block, or do we just coat it again and see how many more years it'll go before we have to give it some real serious attention?
So did they, you're talking, they did like a skim coat of cement over top of the block, and now you're getting the effluence, the powdery stuff coming out?
Yep.
We have a lot of that in the basement of our house in Canal, the old, you know, 1890s bricks. And yep. We're struggling with what exactly we need to do with that. It's one of those ones that kind of keeps getting pushed back because it doesn't have an obvious solution. And it's just an annoyance as a problem at the moment.
Yes. And anyway, what I'm trying to do there is, long story short, I had a salon there for 25 years, and now I've turned it into an office building, and all the suites are rented. So the tenants, you know, their rent's going to come in whether the basement wall's flaking or not, because it's all just a maintenance basement. There's no finished basement in that building. It's all just ductwork and the furnace and the hot water and that sort of thing. So it doesn't have to be pretty. I just want to stop the deterioration. So I've called a couple of folks out, and I've gotten a couple of opinions. And so I'm just going down that route until I make a decision on exactly what I'm going to do to fix that. But the reason we discovered it is that the city came in because I want to have to now remove my central station fire alarm. That's very expensive to maintain. And now that I have an office building instead of a salon where I don't have chemicals in the building, I no longer have to have that. But because I had a salon, the use is the same as retail, but I have to go back through the state of Ohio so that the state of Ohio then takes away their requirement of me having that. So the city came in to do their drawings, to submit to the state to see if they could reverse that requirement of me having that central station. And so that's when it was discovered. And they said, your basement wall needs some attention. So the city now is watching over my shoulder. So I can't necessarily just decide that I'm not going to do anything. I now have to have some kind of a solution. So the tangle.
Well, let us know what you come up with and who you come up with, because we may want to talk to them as well.
Yep. So I get it. So anyway, the right answer is to do a major project and dig down on the outside and dig down on the inside and lay up brand new cement block, pour a brand new footer and lay up brand new cement block to support that wall. That's the correct answer, but we're talking thousands of dollars. And that wall isn't going to go anywhere in my lifetime. So I would like to have a less expensive fix. And, you know, at some point, Matt and Jen will inherit that building, and Matt will get to fix it in his lifetime, but it's not going to go anywhere in my lifetime. So anyhow, we'll see. So I want to have a fix, but I don't want to spend thousands. So that's where I'm at with that. Cause it doesn't change my rent at all, you know, cause the tenants aren't there. They're not even aware that it's an issue. So any other questions, comments, solutions? Well, I think this has been a great call. So Tracy, thank you for being with us. I hope you've had some aha moments. Definitely look up Inago, INNAGO, and check that out. It's great to get your properties on there from the very beginning. And that way, as you grow, you know, you can figure it out with one property instead of sitting down and having 10 that you have to enter in there all at one time. And you can kind of sort it out and learn, you know, where you want to put things and how it works and how the system works before you get too busy. But I love it. It changed my world when I finally switched over to Inago. I got rid of all my paper. I don't have all of that paper stuff now that I have to chase. And and since each property has its own bank account, I don't have any offsite accounting to do either. And then at tax time, I just open up the bank account to that property, and those are the numbers that go on my Schedule E. So it just makes my life so much easier now that I've made the transition. So anyway, this has been a great call. And Adrian, thanks for being with us. And David and Tammy, thanks for tapping in all the way from where you guys are in the sunshine on the beach. So good job. So it sounds like we're going to see you pretty soon.
Yeah, next month we'll be back in Ohio.
Okay. I guess we'll
probably be down here in Florida.
I get it. So we're, like I said, we're headed out to Chattanooga, Gatlinburg this week. And then we're back in Florida in April. I've got a big speakers conference in Miami that I'm going to, I think it's the 24th of April. So 22nd, it's the 22nd of April. So a little past mid-month. So anyhow, so we're going to be back down there in April. And then May, June, July, I think we're hanging out around here. We're not back down until August. So thank you everyone for being on board today. And we will see everyone next time. So safe travels, guys. And we'll see everyone soon.
Bye, Kathy.
Okay, bye.